People living with dementia are waiting too long for assessments and can languish for years before getting respite or residential care, according to Alzheimer's New Zealand. The aged care sector is 20% short of nurses. It's forced the closure of some rest homes and the loss of 500 aged care beds in the last 6 months. This at a time when the population's ageing and the incidence of dementia is set to double from about 70,000 now to twice that in the next generation. Alzheimer's New Zealand Chief Executive Catherine Hall says in some areas people are waiting a year to be assessed by a psychogeriatrician, and the wait for residential and respite care can be up to 2 years. Some families are being forced to move their loved ones out of the area they live in order to access residential care. Ms Hall says everyone, including the government, has been warned of the tsunami of need, yet nothing's been done, and now the sector's at crisis point.
Dementia is a very difficult condition to live with, and people who do have dementia, both the person with the diagnosis and their family, they need specialist help. The reality is, though, that most people with dementia live at home, and that's because that's the right place for them to be. And they will be living at home for most of their time with the condition. So at any one time, only about 30% of people with dementia will be in residential care. And at that point, when they need rest home care, it's a very important part of the continuum. But the problem we have is that there aren't enough services anywhere along the continuum. There aren't enough services for the two-thirds of people in the community, and there aren't enough rest home services either. So people living with dementia are being neglected across the spectrum.
What is actually happening? What are some of the things that families and their loved ones are going through?
Well, people are not being able to get a diagnosis when they need it. So they might know that something's wrong and not be able to, but not know what it is, and they can't get a diagnosis, so they can't get the help that they need. Even if they're lucky enough to get a diagnosis, they almost certainly won't be able to get the help and support that they need at home. And what that means is that the person with dementia might deteriorate faster than they would have otherwise. And the care partner and the family are exhausted because they're not getting the help they need, including the rest. And then when we get into rest home care, the families are being faced with having to move their loved one out of the area they live in. So the families are racked with guilt about that, and the person with dementia is isolated, they're lonely, they're frustrated, they don't know where their family is, and again, they can deteriorate faster than they would otherwise. So this is a major problem for a group that is already amongst our most vulnerable, and they're being neglected yet again.
Are there people who literally get on the phone and cannot find the help, either in-home or in care, for themselves or for their loved one?
Absolutely. In fact, I heard recently that in one part of the country, people are being told that there is a 12-month wait just for an assessment and a 2-year wait for respite, for that all-important rest that families need.
What is the respite service that is available?
So there are several, but the most well-known, I guess, and the most commonly used is residential respite. So that is respite in a rest home, and that might be, say, 2 weeks rest every 6 weeks or every 2 months or so. But day programs also provide respite, and there is, in some parts of the country, some in-house respite.
What is needed first in terms of the services themselves? Is a lot of this to do with carers at various places in the system and there being a shortage of them?
That is certainly a factor. Any health service requires a workforce, and the aged care workforce has been neglected for a very, very long time. So we've got no strategy across any part of that workforce in terms of making sure we've got enough of the right people with the right qualifications when we need them, even knowing that we've got this big increase heading our way. So wages is a factor in that, training is a factor in that, organisational culture is a factor in that. You know, we need to do better in that space. But there's other things happening as well. I mean, I think across the country there are just not enough of the right kind of services, even if all of the existing services are staffed as much as they need to be, there is not enough. And so there needs to be a major investment in community and residential care for older people, and in particular for people with dementia. And so we wrote the Dementia Matawariwari Action Plan. Matawariwari is the Māori concept for dementia. And we have just recently been told that Cabinet has endorsed that plan. But what we haven't got yet is a decision to implement it and to put the funding behind it that's needed in order for people to get the services that they so desperately need.
Catherine Hall is Chief Executive of Alzheimer's New Zealand, 23 and a half minutes past nine. And listening also to that, the Aged Care Commissioner, Carolyn Cooper, who's an advocate on behalf of consumers and their whānau for better services. Kia ora, Carolyn, welcome.
Kia ora, Morena.
What focus have you been able to bring to the issues in the system in just the couple of months, I think, that you've been in the role?
Yeah, look, I think there are a number of issues at the moment, and Catherine's talked about those in relation to dementia, but they actually are across the board for older people, I think, whether they are in home, at home receiving services or in care homes. And largely they point back to workforce, unfortunately. You know, older people deserve to have the quality of care wherever and whenever they need it, and at the moment that's not possible in both the home and community support sector and also in the aged residential care sector, because the workforce is not stable enough and there are substantial vacancies in areas such as nursing, which particularly for aged residential care with a nurse-led service, that is a massive issue.
It's not a new issue. We've been talking about it for years and years. Certainly we've been hearing from the sector that the discrepancy between what nurses are paid and what they're paid in the DHBs is a constant source of loss of staff. In fact, one elder care or aged care owner last week told us in an email that district health boards, who of course fund the aged care sector, would effectively poach staff, including those who had been brought in on a visa for a specific aged care service. What's going to stop this robbing Peter to pay Paul?
Well, look, it's not a level playing field, as you've just described. At the moment, the District Health Board nurses have a strong national agreement, which has actually allowed them to be paid, you know, well as nurses, and I actually applaud that because nurses deserve to be paid well. I suppose what I would say is not having a level playing field means that nurses in other sectors, including aged residential care, but also primary, you know, NGO providers, home care providers, who all look after older people, they can't attract the workforce in the same way as the district health boards can. So there is something that needs to be done there. It's not my role to advocate for salaries, wages, funding, but what I will be advocating for strongly and have been is that older people need to receive that quality of care when and wherever they need it. And it's you know, not happening. And Catherine talked about delays for people with dementia. Well, you know, it's the quality of life and quality of care that people deserve as they age that is missing for us in New Zealand. That's a concern.
You're a former nurse. I think you became the head of Bupa, which is one of the biggest providers, right? Rest home and retirement village businesses. So I'm really interested on your take on this as to whether that model is remotely sustainable. Here we are with beds closing, people desperate and unable to get people into care, let alone respite care. Is that model broken?
Well, look, I suppose if we had a workforce to actually undertake the model and provide people with the care that they deserve, it may not be an issue. So I think that it all points back to me to having a, you know, national workforce strategy, about growing our own more, about ensuring that people realise that aged residential care, home and community support services, those sorts of roles are really important roles for older people, but also for our community. If we don't get this right, and the model that you're talking about, what will happen is that either people will stay at home longer, and that's okay if they're getting the support, But if they're staying at home longer and they're not getting the support, then that's not okay. And or they will end up in the public health system, which we know is not the, the best place for older people who actually need to receive long-term care. And so, you know, that, that those areas, it's actually a system issue. It's not an age residential care issue. It's actually getting the system right and making sure that older people can access every part of it when they actually need it. And that's what's missing.
But again, we're going backwards. We're 4,000 nurses short in this country. And, you know, we just had
at least, I imagine. Yeah.
And we had that outcry last week when the nurses apparently can't be trusted not to come here, get residency and move on. Apparently all these people in all these other roles can, but not them. And so, you know, it's just hard to see how what you're proposing is going to happen in the reality of the moment. We had the DHB's workforce task force years ago. So where are the results out of that? Or are we just on a slippery slope with some of the most vulnerable paying the price and their loved ones?
Yeah, well, my role was to monitor and ensure that the Code of Consumer Rights for older people is actually, you know, the care that they receive is actually the right care, the right quality, and that, you know, care and protection, equity and access are all the things that I'll be monitoring. And as we go into the health reforms, the Health and Disability Commissioner and others at the Commission will be monitoring what happens to people in the system, and I will have a particular view of what happens to older people. And I share your concerns at this time and have been speaking to key people around those concerns. But we need to actually take some action that will change it. I respect if providers are actually, you know, not able to provide a safe quality service, and so they're either closing beds or closing wings or, in fact, closing care homes. I actually respect that decision because we don't want older people to be exposed to risk, but we also don't want older people to be exposed to the fact that they need to move to another care home away from their whānau, into a, you know, unknown environment. This is their home. This is their home for life where they receive care that they actually need to have. It's not, you know, I mean, I know people refer to care homes as rest homes. Rest home level is one level of care. There are four levels of care in the sector, and rest home level is the lowest level of care. And older people actually have very high acuity when they're in care homes, and they need those care inputs. They need the registered nurses' inputs. They need strong primary care to support them, and they need to be able to actually, you know, receive that quality care and quality of life, and they jolly well deserve it.
Are you attached to the Health and Disability Commission? Is this where your role has been placed?
Yes, it is. I sit in the Health and Disability Commission, and I'm a Deputy Commissioner under Commissioner McDowell. And I also have the responsibility to ensure that the Code of Consumer Rights is enacted under that responsibility. But I also have to look at systemic issues and quality improvement issues for the sector. So my role is quite broad when it comes to looking at the voice of older people and the things that might actually be needed for older people in the sector. I've started to actually meet with older people, meet with people that represent them, agencies, advocacies, groups, small, large, in between, to get you know, a really good understanding of what people are feeling out there.
Thank you. Carolyn Cooper is the country's first aged care commissioner, began in the role a couple of months ago.